For 10 days, the disciples had been in Jerusalem, waiting for the gift that Jesus had promised them just those 10 days before when he ascended to heaven. And the streets were crowded with Jewish people from all over the known world, both pilgrims and immigrants, because it was Shavuot, an important festival for the Jewish people, the day when Jews celebrate God giving the Torah on Mount Sinai, thus creating the Israelites as God's covenant people. Traditionally, for this holiday, Jewish people get together to study scripture all night long. So it's possible that what the disciples were doing that day, reading scripture and giving thanks for God, revealing the world and bringing them together as a community, had left them maybe a little giddy from sleep deprivation and holiday excitement. But whatever the case, there was a loud, rushing wind blowing through the house, like the wind that blew over the waters of creation back in Genesis 1. And tongues of fire, like the flames that had danced in the burning bush, and like the pillar of fire that led the Israelites in the wilderness. The fire appeared above them, leading them out of the house into the street. And they spoke, and people heard. It was a day of new creation, with the wind of God blowing and the fire of the Spirit filling them all, so they could share stories of God's amazing works in ways that people would understand, bringing a new community into being. I love the many layers that are woven through this story. It's a reminder of the ways in which God has continually made new ways for God's people to be who they're called to be. From the beginning, God longed for relationship with us and gave us the privilege and responsibility of co-creating with him. And when we failed to live into God's image, he didn't give up on us. Instead, he called out a group of people whom he would bless so that they, in turn, would bring blessing to all other people. Even when they failed, he kept trying, offering a chance of redemption again and again, giving them the precious gift of instruction to help them remember who and whose they were. And when they failed to follow these instructions, God came to us in the person of Jesus, drawing ever closer. And today on Pentecost, we see the continuation of God's desire for relationship with us, with all creation. The gift of the Holy Spirit means that in many ways, we have never before imagined God is with us, always. We always have access to the Holy Spirit to pray for us, to guide us, to comfort us, and to challenge us. But that gift wasn't given just for our own sake. You see, on the birthday of the church, something changed. The disciples changed. Their fears turned to audacity. Their tongues flowed with fluency. The community around them changed. It multiplied and bridged divides as the story of Jesus was heard in many languages. What was true then, and is true today, is that the church's ministry begins with the gift of the Spirit, not for the sake of the church, but for the sake of the world. Before the coming of the Holy Spirit, the apostles were a group of followers who had listened to Jesus and assisted in his ministry. But without Jesus, they were aimless and confused. That all changed on Pentecost. After the Holy Spirit entered the room, and after Peter preached, the apostles no longer looked inward. Filled with the Spirit of Jesus, they looked out and forward as ministers. Daniel Schroyer writes, "Without Pentecost, we'd just be people who tell Jesus' story. With Pentecost, We're people who live into Jesus' story. I don't believe it's a coincidence that we gather to celebrate Pentecost the week after we've chosen to listen to the Spirit's guiding to bring about something new. 60 years ago, people took a chance in planting a little mission church on this corner because the Spirit told them that this community needed God's love to be shared here. And now we're taking another brave step because we believe that God is calling us to continue the same mission in a new way. This week I've heard lots of questions about what our next steps are, and there's been a good bit of anxiety behind some of them. And I get that. I've certainly experienced a few moments of trepidation myself, especially when I have to keep replying, "We don't know yet." And then I read this Pentecost scripture, and I'm reminded that no one knew what to expect when the Spirit blew into that room all those years ago, igniting the church with love. They hadn't put together a committee and made careful plans. When the Spirit blew in, they were just a bunch of people who liked to tell stories and host potlucks, people with their good and their bad habits, their fear and their faith intermingled, uncertainty about the future just as prominent as their love of singing and eating together. What would they do? Who would they be? Why were they here? And it's into this uncertainty, an uncertainty that may feel very familiar to us, that the Spirit came, whistling and rushing and filling, setting their hearts and their tongues aflame. They were overwhelmed with love, igniting a holy fire in that place. They couldn't help themselves. They just had to talk about it, and not just amongst themselves. There's a reason that Pentecost is often called the birthday of the church. It's because this is the day when we learned who we are, why we're here, and what to do about it. It's the day a gathering of people who liked potlucks became the body of Christ, commissioned to share the love of God with the world. It's the day a small group of scared men and women who weren't sure that they could survive the coming year were transformed into a true community that learned to pray, to teach their faith, to share their resources, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, and feed the hungry without worrying about the budget. It's the day a bunch of people who thought they knew the story found out what it means to be a storyteller. They didn't just wait for people to come and notice that they were friendly. They went out and spoke the language of literally every nation on earth and found they had more than enough resources for their task. We may not understand what the Spirit is doing with wind and flame, with words and welcome, with push and pull, but we know this. The Spirit is here, and we are the body she moves to do the work of God in the world. Like those first followers, we are uncertain of anything other than God has called us to this place, to this moment, and sometimes we may even feel uncertain about that. But I believe that God is doing a transforming work among us, as he did among the first church. And I believe that the community around us can be transformed by our love as we allow the Spirit to do its work. As the Spirit blows in and starts new fires, something new is born, sometimes out of the ashes of what has come before, sometimes in a whole new place or way, sometimes as an addition to the fire that's already there. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It changes how we see the world, how we live, how we interact with the world around us. And the people around us should be able to see that. They should notice and wonder why we act the way we do. Centuries ago, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the risen Christ, blew into the hearts and souls and lives of a small group of people and transformed them. And they then went out to share a story that would transform the lives of dozens, then hundreds, then thousands of others. And that same Spirit blows in our world today. Are we ready to keep on being the church? May the words we speak and the things we do show that our answer to that question is a resounding yes, Lord. Amen. You pray with me. God, on this day, your Spirit is here, as real and active as it was so many years ago. We thank you for that gift, for the Spirit who guides us, who prays for us, who comforts us, who sometimes convicts us. We pray for our church in this new endeavor, that your Spirit would guide us all along the way, and that we would be open to her guiding. God, we pray that each of us might hear and feel the Spirit in our own lives, calling us forward to new things, reminding us that you are with us always, in all ways, that you never leave us, that you gift us so that we might be a blessing to others. Help us to say yes when the Spirit calls. We pray.